And we were there, weren't we? Spiritually, Christ died for our sins when he died on the cross. And when he rose from the dead, he rose that he might give us life. And so what happened 2,000 years ago is at the very heart of our life today, because it means we can have life everlasting. If you will, turn to Luke chapter 24. For a few moments, we're going to look at Luke chapter 24, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 6. Luke 24, verses 1 through 6. Now, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.'" On that first Easter morning, when Jesus rose from the dead, the message of his resurrection pierced through the doubts and the fears, the sorrow and the gloom of that day and every day. The resurrection of Jesus changed everything. And so today, even though there may be a great sense of discouragement and despair upon many in our land today, the resurrection of Jesus has not changed. Just as it pierced the pain and the suffering of his disciples on that first resurrection morning, it still does that. Because Jesus, in his resurrection, it has accomplished all that we need. Because of the resurrection of Jesus, sin is conquered. When the followers of Jesus came to the tomb that morning, it appeared that nothing had changed. They got up. They knew that on Friday, Jesus had died a terrible death on the cross. He had been buried in a tomb owned by Joseph of Arimathea. He and Nicodemus had prepared his body with aloe and myrrh and wrapped it in cloths and laid it in that tomb. And those women had seen where Jesus was buried, but they had not had the opportunity to do for Jesus what they so much wanted to do out of love for him, out of devotion to him. So they had prepared their own spices, and they had waited all through Friday night and all day Saturday. And at the first opportunity, very early on Sunday morning, the third day that Jesus was in the tomb, they went there to do what they thought they still could do for Jesus, and that was to simply take these spices to anoint and prepare his body the way they would have wanted to do on Friday. But when they got there, something had happened. The body of Jesus wasn't there. They were still in such shock that even finding the body of Jesus not there, instead of remembering his words, which we're going to talk about in our second service in at 10:30, instead of remembering what Jesus had said, that he would rise from the dead, they were perplexed. They were afraid that something had happened to the body of Jesus. But then God sent these two men in shining garments, two angels who came and delivered for the first time this great, glorious good news that Jesus was not there. He had risen from the dead. John MacArthur said about the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the single greatest event in the history of the world. It is so foundational to Christianity that no one who denies it can be a true Christian. A person who believes in a Christ who was not raised believes in a powerless Christ, a dead Christ. If Christ did not rise from the dead, then no redemption was accomplished at the cross, and your faith is worthless. As we read earlier, what the Apostle Paul said. He said in verse 17 there of 1 Corinthians 15, if Christ did not rise from the dead, you are still in your sins. It is a mystery to me how there are people who can call themselves Christians who do not believe in the literal, physical, bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because if Jesus did not rise from the dead, there is no point to the Christian faith. Jesus said he would rise from the dead, and if he did not, then not only that was a lie, but everything else he said was a lie. But it wasn't a lie. He did rise from the dead, and that becomes the heart of our faith. Because sin has been conquered in the cross, the sacrifice of Jesus, and in the empty tomb. It also means death is conquered. The resurrection of Jesus means not only sin has been conquered, but what does the Bible say about sin? The wages of sin is death. Sin brings death. And in the resurrection, not only is sin conquered, but so is death. The stone was rolled away from the door of death forever, because Jesus has turned death into nothing but a passageway from this life into the very presence of God. Clarence Hall wrote, "The resurrection of Jesus changes the face of death for all his people. Death is no longer a prison, but a passage into God's presence. Easter says you can put truth in a grave, but it won't stay there." Jesus is, what did he say about himself? The way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father, Jesus said, but by me. He is the truth. And you can put truth in a grave, but it won't stay there. Jesus rose from the dead. Clarence Hall went on to say, you can nail it to a cross, wrap it in winding sheets, and shut it up in a tomb, but it will rise. The truth, and Jesus is the truth. Death, you see, has been conquered. And so when physical death happens, the passing away of the mortal body, that is not the final word for the Christian, for the believer in Jesus Christ. Instead, it becomes only a passageway from this life into the Father's house, the place that God has prepared for you the moment you put your faith and trust in the risen Christ. The resurrection of Jesus means life is available. Life. Do you notice what the angel said here to the women? Why do you seek the living among the dead? Do we still do that? I think if we're honest, if you look around, there are many people, and they've become more aware of it in the last month, that they're seeking life in what is dead. The women went to a cemetery. They went to a place where there were tombs, and they were seeking Jesus in that place. Well, he wasn't there, because he's alive. He's not dead. And we must not search for life where it is not to be found. We must not search for life through ceremonialism, through ritualism. Jesus is not to be found in rituals. He is not to be found in a list of do's and don'ts. That does not constitute what it means to know God and to have a relationship with God. Now, there are things God wants us to do and not do, but that all flows from the life that we have in Jesus Christ. There must be something alive for you to be able to decide what to do and not to do. And you see, Jesus wants you to know him personally. And so don't seek life. Don't seek God in what is dead, what is cold, what is lifeless. Don't search for life in your own works. Life is not to be found by looking deep inside yourself as a person. You know what you're going to find when you look deep inside yourself? You're going to find a sinner who is separated from God. You're going to find a person who in and of himself or herself is hopeless. But if you look beyond yourself to Jesus, who is alive, you'll find life. He will make you alive by his own resurrection power. The power that brought Jesus from death unto life will bring you from death unto life. So don't look for life in what is dead, in your own works, in your own strength, in your own goodness. You cannot erase even one sin by a whole lifetime of good works. It still doesn't change the fact you're a sinner. But Jesus can change the fact you're a sinner. He can make you a child of God because he rose from the dead. The resurrection means life is available. Don't look for life in the philosophies of this world. There are all kinds of ideas and philosophies that will tell you what you ought to be doing. But you need to look to the place where life is to be found. None of those philosophies can tell you why you're really here. They can't tell you where you're going. They can't give you meaning and purpose in life. They're lifeless. They're dead. But Jesus is alive. And he can give you a purpose for life, a reason to live. And that reason is him, to know him, to love him, to share him, to serve him. And then don't look for life in the things of this world. What happens when all the things of this world are taken away? And that is literally what we have been living through for the last month. The things that we have put our whole life, built our life around, in many cases, those things have been taken away. Now, it may be just for a time, and it may not be just for a time. We don't know how it's all going to play out yet. But if your life consists in the things of this world, it's not going to be lasting. What happens when your job is taken away? What happens when your bank account starts to run low? What happens when your hobbies that you have put your whole life on are no longer there? What happens when all of the things of this world are vanished away? Well, if you're a Christian, your purpose for life hasn't changed. If you're a Christian, the life that you have is not altered. Not the life that's going to go on forever. The eternal life that you have. The circumstances of life can change, but Jesus never does. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I want to encourage you. On this resurrection morning, the resurrection of Jesus means life is available. And if you have given your life to Jesus Christ, then there's nothing that can happen to you in this world that can take that away from you. That is a constant. It is a sure foundation. And Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you. The resurrection of Jesus means hope and joy are sure. What did the angel say to the women? He is not here. He is not here. Where was here? The tomb. The angels were saying to the women, he's not here. He's not in the grave. So why do Christians sometimes look, live and act as though he is in the tomb. He's not in the tomb. The tomb is gloomy. The tomb is sad. The tomb is despondent. The tomb is a place of despair and darkness. The tomb is hopeless. We are not to be like that because he is not here. He's not in the grave. So we don't need to go through life as though he is. In other words, don't dwell in the tomb of gloom and despair. It's easy for us to look at our circumstances or the circumstances of others and begin to feel like everything is hopeless, everything is despairing. It's not, because Jesus is alive. So don't dwell in the tomb of despair. Don't dwell in the tomb of doubt and fear. The women came to the tomb that day filled with fear and sadness and grief. But they found that that had been replaced with life, with joy, the good news that Jesus lives. Don't dwell in the tomb of worldliness, living as though the things of this world are everything. They're not. Nothing can take away the great and glorious truth that Jesus is risen. J.R. Packer, speaking about the difference between optimism and Christian hope, he said, "Optimism is a wish without a warrant. Christian hope is a certainty guaranteed by God himself. Optimism reflects ignorance as to whether good things will ever actually come. Christian hope expresses knowledge that every day of his life and every moment beyond it, the believer can say with truth on the basis of God's own commitment that the best is yet to come." Do you believe the best is yet to come? I hope you'll say that today and then every day for the rest of your life, because that's what's true. No matter what's happening around you, no matter what's happening to you, the best is yet to come because Jesus is risen from the dead. Someday, when all of this life is over, when suffering and sin and physical death are no more, what is going to remain? Jesus and our relationship to him. And so we can say every day that we live, the best is yet to come. I hope you'll say that and believe it and mean it. Because on the basis of what Jesus did, not only on the cross, but in the resurrection, the best is yet to come. Because of the resurrection of Jesus, victory is declared. What did they say? He is not here, but is risen. They declared the victory that Jesus had won. The first declaration of the greatest news that has ever happened. We continue to declare with our words and with our lives that Jesus is alive. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me. The Lord Jesus is risen. David Jeremiah said, "The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the foundation of Christianity and the touchstone of all that he is." Now listen to this. It validates his work as Savior, and it verifies his worth as Lord. You see, the cross and the resurrection go together. If Jesus had only died on the cross, if there had been no resurrection, then he wouldn't be the Savior of the world. His death, even if he had said his death was for us, it would have had no power, no effect. But the fact that he rose from the dead, it validates that what he did on the cross was a miracle. that he was stepping into our place and bearing our sin, and that when he died for us. And in his resurrection, it validates, it proves that he is who he claimed to be. Horatius Bonner wrote, "As the cross is the payment, so the resurrection is God's receipt for the whole sum signed with his own hand." The cross and the resurrection, the two together, the rising of Jesus from the dead, it means he has conquered sin and death and hell for you and for me. I close with the words of an Easter song called "Glorious Morning." I think it expresses very well what I hope you feel and believe on this Easter morning. Over the hillside, the sunrise is coming. Gentle and warm, it wakes up the day, reflecting his light, for Jesus has risen. Heaven and earth now join in the praise. Those who have seen him now are believers, and we who now by believing have seen, lifting our voices in one mighty chorus, Jesus is Lord and Savior and King. Glorious morning, Jesus is risen. No tomb could hold him, no stone could seal. Glorious morning, the world has a Savior. He is alive, and his truth is revealed. Eternity's war, fought through the ages, comes to an end at Calvary's cross. And the tomb now is empty. Light shatters the darkness. Night that seemed endless gives way to the dawn. Oh, glorious morning, Jesus is risen. No tomb could hold him. No stone could seal. Glorious morning, the world has a Savior. He is alive, and his truth is revealed. The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we come to you today with hearts that are full of love and joy for you. And we thank you for the great privilege it is to lift up our hearts and voices and minds together. And thank you for what you accomplished on the cross and in the glorious resurrection from the dead. Lord, we ask you to lead us and to help us that we might live every day you give us on this earth with a profound sense of joy and gratitude, grateful because of what you have done for us, filled with joy because of the difference that that makes for the life that we now have because of you. Lord Jesus, if there's someone on this Easter morning who has never given their life to you, they've heard about Easter all of their life perhaps, but it's never come in their own heart. May this be the Easter that they put their trust in you, that they accept you for who you are, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Savior of the world. We pray, Lord, if there's someone who needs now to say to you, Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner, and I believe you died for me. Please forgive my sin. I believe you died and rose again, and I put my faith and trust in you. We know that you will hear that prayer. Any person who calls on your name, you are faithful to not only hear, but to save. And so we pray that you'll bless that person right now. And if they've given their life to you, help them to tell somebody about that this very day. Lord, we pray that you'll help us as Christians now to live out not only this day, but each day, sharing your power, your grace, and your love. And may you be glorified in us and through us. And we thank you again for your glorious victory over death. In the name of Jesus, our living Savior, we pray. Amen. Well, we are so thankful that you have joined us for this Easter sunrise service. We are going to have a second service at 10:30 at our usual time. It'll be a completely different service, a different music. Gary Allen is planning to be here to sing, and Stan is going to sing, and Stan and I are actually going to try to sing a song together. So we hope you'll go and eat some breakfast now, and then come back, and at 10:30 we'll worship the Lord again and give thanks for his glorious resurrection from the dead. May God bless you, and happy Easter. Have a great day.